Otakuology Podcast with Otaku Mike Engine Graves.
I feel like we kind of butchered that.
I thought we did too, and I was like, wait, I know there's a trumpet on here, and you can't do the trumpet and the regular part. What's going on? That's okay. We're a podcast, professional.
We're a professional podcast.
You know, so there are no bad takes, okay?
No bad takes.
Except for the takes with the microphone fix.
Welcome back to the Otakuology Podcast. I'm your host, Otaku Mike. With me, as always, is my heterosexual life partner, Jin.
Hi, I'm Jin.
How's it going, buddy?
Good. Trying to get my spaceship clean.
Oh, okay. That's good. That's good to know. Yeah, it's good.
We
got to
finally take our trip back to Earth for this movie instead of being on Mars and Jupiter and shit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally. But what are we talking about today?
Today, we are going to talk about Space Dandy.
What? Space Dandy?
Space Dandy.
Oh, you mean two-bit wannabe Cowboy Bebop Space Dandy?
Yes. No, I'm talking about the original OG Space Dandy, Spike.
Oh, Spike in the 2001 movie, The Cowboy Bebop, the movie, or also known as Cowboy Bebop Knocking on Heaven's Door, I believe is what the actual title of the movie is called.
Yes.
Which I never knew it as that. But
no, I always knew it as Cowboy Bebop the movie.
I know. Oh, I mean, that's crazy. So let me ask you before we get into this. Obviously, we both love this movie.
Some might even say that's how the podcast got started many, many years ago when the dinosaurs roamed.
Probably true. I've watched this movie. I've watched this movie God knows how many times. You've watched this movie God knows how many times, you know.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, when did you first get and see this movie?
Oh, God. So I actually had this on two different mediums. My parents, instead of buying me a TV, actually bought me like a little portable DVD player, and I had the DVD for this.
Yeah.
And I had a PSP that I would play. And so I also, too, had this on PSP, which is what I'm pretty sure I still have it on as of now.
Yeah, on the UMDs.
But, huh?
On the UMDs.
Yeah, on the little...
Yeah.
The little discs.
Yeah.
Is that what they were called?
Yeah, they're called UMDs.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Huh. The more you know. I would watch this like on fucking repeat, like all the time before I went to bed or anything. So, I mean, that was... Christ, I can't even tell you when that was. Middle school-ish, maybe? Uh-huh. Late middle school?
Mm-hmm. I think I was in high school when I first saw this movie. I think I was in high school. I want to say high school.
Well, I remember getting it and then like going and like being like, huh, you know, this looks pretty cool. It's got the same name as one of my TV shows that I enjoy on Adult Swim. And then I ended up picking it up, and I was like, what in the hell?
See, I never actually watched the TV show first. I watched the movie first. Because we didn't have... Well, we had cable, but I couldn't watch cable.
Wait, wait. I have to ask you a question about this. What? Did you ever watch Cowboy Bebop in Spanish?
No, I did not.
Okay, I just had to ask you that because we've talked about some shit like that before. And I was like, Jen really wants to know the answer to this question. And we'll talk to Mike, just like Dragon Ball Z had to watch this in Spanish.
Senor speak Spiegel.
Oh my god.
But no. I we had cable, but like I could never stay up late enough to watch like Adult Swim or whatever, you know. So like one day, it was during Christmas break, I went to a Target and my dad had given me like some money for like just for Christmas money, like, you know. I went to Target and I got this movie, which I still own my copy today. I never got rid of it, of the movie Cowboy Bebop. And then I got the Escaflowne movie.
Yeah, you crazy exes. We never got rid of this Cowboy Bebop movie.
But yeah, and then I watched it. I was like, this movie is amazing. Because
To listeners out there, if you don't know that, I'm not going to explain it on this show. So that means, i.e., you have to go back and watch older shows to know what I mean by that. Thank you.
But like, I would, before I even got this, I would see the commercial on like MTV and stuff, and I think like Fuse is what it was called, and I was like, oh, this movie looks so amazing, I need to own it. Like, I knew nothing about Cowboy Bebop.
Mine was a total fluke. Like, I went into, I think, Best Buy, and I saw it sitting on the shelf, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna get this. And I can't remember if I thought it was a video game at first. I can't remember if I knew it was a movie. I can't remember any of that. I just know that I picked it up and I was like, oh, yeah, you know, and I put it in. And I started watching it and I was like, holy shit.
I know.
What is this?
I never fully watched all of the series until I got to college.
Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Because I would catch like episodes here and there. Because they would play them on like some channel on cable. It was still Cartoon Network. They played it on. But yeah, I never caught like the entire series. So I had no idea like where this fit into the series. Was it considered canon? You know, like what was it? You know, but yeah, I never fully watched it until I went and bought it. When I was in college, I just paid the money to buy it. I still have that too. I have like multiple copies of the TV show, which is weird to say, but I do.
It was so fucking good. I got multiple fucking copies. Good.
I had the double and triple dip. I never got the re-release of the movie. There was a re-release a couple years ago, but I never like actually got it because I didn't really know if I wanted to get it. I think it kind of went out of print. I'm not for sure exactly, but for a while, like the movie was kind of hard to find, you know.
Yeah,
but yeah, like this movie kind of like, I don't want to say like kind of changed my view and opinion on like what anime, like an animation is kind of capable of.
Right.
Within the Cowboy Bebop anime sphere, because I still think with the TV show and this, like the animation holds up. I saw one review where it was like, the animation is so stiff and the fighting so stiff. I hate this, you know.
Oh, bro. No, and I was like, that ain't even a thing. Whoever said that is a fucking dumbass.
I was like, what? And like, kind of how we like, you know. Like, Cowboy Bebop is in the anime zeitgeist of being, like, one of the top tier animes, I would say, that gets recommended.
Well, and you know that this was one of the ones for part of the fight scenes, they actually had human beings choreography before they actually drew it.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that means so much more, like, you mean somebody actually had to go through this humiliation of getting somebody to kick their ass to make this cool fight scene. Holy shit.
Like, you know, like how I was saying, like how like nobody knows like Goku Midnight Eye. We were talking about last episode. Nobody knows Bean Bandit, you know, and all that, all those older animes, but like somehow like this series and this like movie, like it's still relevant to an extent with newer fans. Like all the fans, all fans always recommend this show. I've never heard anybody talk bad about it, like ever.
Except for that person that said that the movie didn't hold up.
Except for that, yeah.
All right. So Jay and Silent Bob, let's get pull out that thing and we'll go find him.
But yeah, so like I kind of wanted to just talk about this movie and get our thoughts out there. Do you want to start us off, Jen?
Oh yeah. So ultimately, this is like one of my favorite movies. Now, would I fully rank the TV show among like my elite? No, but it's pretty close. Pretty close. It's it's knocking on heaven's door. Okay.
Would you say it's in the top 10?
Cowboy Bebop in my top 10?
Yeah.
Probably not. It's probably in my top 20 though.
What? Okay.
Yeah, I mean there's just other stuff that kind of like wrecked my heart. I loved it and I was like, "Oh man." And then I cried that I had to move, you know, bump Cowboy Bebop down a little bit. And I was like, "Damn it."
See, cuz I could go back to any of the episodes and just watch it. Like just sit down and watch.
Oh no, I mean I can do that too.
And like just love it.
It always confuses me, though, that there's not an actual storyline with it. I mean,
there's not really an actual storyline.
So when the fuck did this happen, okay? I'm a little confused here. you know, so I think that's one of the reasons why, like, to me, the movie is more superior than the TV show, because you kind of get a whole story ran out, and it's all completed in that one huge ass episode.
Well, it's basically
because it doesn't seem like a movie, you know, it just seems like a huge episode.
Yeah, it seems like basically like you're picking up with Spike and the crew like on just a random adventure basically,
right? And you don't have to know anything of the past, like it's all here. You're not really worried about like where did we meet Ed at, what's the backstory of Faye, you know, what happened with Jet. Like, you don't really ask those questions in it. I mean, you know that you love this crew for whatever reason, and you know that they're kind of here together, and you meet them as you're going, but that's not what the story is about. It's kind of them on detective mode. So it's almost like Cowboy Bebop meets, like, an episode of Lupin the Third.
Maybe.
Because, you know, they're trying to find the butterfly guy.
Oh, yeah. Vincent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I kept trying to, like, tell somebody about it yesterday, and I was like, Vicious? No. Vicious? No. That's not the name. And that, but I kept saying Vicious, like, that's not the name.
His name so was I just called, Vincent.
I kept calling him off-brand Spike, and that's what they were like, I get it. You said off-brand Spike, because Vincent is so like Spike in this movie.
I would say kind of.
I feel like both of them kind of have that strong silent characteristic type. And out of this movie, I feel like if we threw it right in the middle of the series, this would show a part where Spike realized he couldn't be wholeheartedly as cocky as
this. This actually takes place towards the end of the series.
Right.
Like before they like end up.
I'm just saying if we threw it anywhere in there.
I believe it's like before Edward leaves the show.
Yeah. So that would be like the second to last episode.
Yeah.
But I mean, like starting out in this, I love it. We're kind of getting like this really like good, like soulful, like tune. And we're just seeing Spike walk down an alley. Nothing too big. It ain't really that whole thing. It really goes to the roots of like watching Cowboy Bebop the first time you see the opener. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh shit, what's happening?
I have to say I love the cold opening of this movie where it's just Spike and Jet trying to get into a convenience store that's being held hostage.
Yes.
And like just seeing Spike being so like nonchalant and like be like, oh, hey, check this out. And like, he shoots like a firework at the guy, you know, and the guy, like, the guy's very much taken off guard. And I love the fact, like, he uses his surroundings, like he burns a guy with coffee. And I love in the middle of this whole fight, they just stop. They finish, like, Jet and Spike end up finishing these guys off, and they start an argument in the middle of this scene about there being a fifth guy.
So this is, this is actually one of the things that I will bring up in a conversation randomly to see if somebody's paying attention to me or if they made me have something that was like disbelief. I'll do that and I'll be like, so Jet, I thought you said that there were four guys, not five.
Because
it's Jet's turn, and he goes, well, sometime this information is both supposed to be known to enemies and allies. And I will use that in conversation like I was the voice actor of this character.
Okay. I love like they have this like standoff with the guy, and they end up killing him. And the old lady's like, who are you? Or what are you? Like,
he shoots him in the shoulder. He didn't kill him.
Oh, no, I thought he killed him.
No, he shot him in the shoulder, and then his bullet went through the guy's shoulder into the glass door behind him, and he got knocked out with beer cans.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I like how he's
I also like this metaphor that's here where the guy is talking about what's the most important thing in a curry.
Oh, yeah. He's like, a stew.
Yeah, that sounds so philosophical. And it's like, you know, what do you do? And the girl's sitting there, and I'm, you know, it makes me think, like, if you just ask that question outright, what do people say?
And,
you know, like,
she's like, well, beef is on aisle so and so. He's like, that's not what I'm talking about.
And the beef. And he goes, no, the same beef could be used for a stew or goulash or like all this other thing. My grandma made really good fucking goulash, so that was another thing that I was like, oh, my grandmama would love this. You know, and then that's where the girl says, like what you said, you know, it's on aisle that I don't fucking care about that. You know.
Yeah. And I love the scene where like it transitions where the old lady that was being held up, she's like, he called you a cowboy. What is that? And Spike's like, just a humble bounty hunter, ma'am. And he like does like his little gun trick. I love that every time. And I love how it transitions from that to like, I don't want to say like a low key transitions into like a music video for the opening, but I love it.
It turns into like a travel montage.
I love it. Like I love seeing all the different people and stuff. And
I mean, I love the song. Like the song is so fucking catchy.
Oh yeah, no, it is. Yeah,
I mean, like you can't after you've heard that song a couple times, like you're done. Like you can play it anywhere. Just like whenever we hear when we count down before our shows, every time. If majority of our shows, if you don't hear one of us going, it's not a real show, okay?
There's
because we count down and we'll do that, and then one of us will start humming or singing, and we'll either try and beat it before we hit for it to start recording, or you'll hear us doing it right as it starts.
There's one, it's in like the pinnacle like scene. Like the big scene where they're flying all the airplanes and stuff to and whatnot, and it's always like, "I'm gonna fucking pop your cherry, girl." And I always
say that.
Yeah, it does, and I always sing that.
I'm gonna have to go back and rewatch this now. Yeah, I've never known that it says that.
Yeah, it's like the opening line to like a song.
Oh my god!
And then it like goes into like the big like. Like fight scene and stuff. Yeah, it's funny.
Oh my gosh. Now I'm going to have to really, really figure that out.
But yeah,
that's so like, crazy.
I love this opening. And we have like Spike and Jet and Ed. And I think even Faye may or may not be there. But like Spike and Jet are arguing about like what ramen I think they can eat. If I remember correctly.
Yes. Which one are you going to get? Are you going to get the instant soba or the cold udon or something,
Which
like something random like
we
that?
get our blatant out in front cup of noodles ad, which pops up several times throughout this anime. And I was like, huh, that's good to know. Cup of Noodles sponsored the Cowboy Bebop movie. Why can't we have cup
Right.
of noodles like they have cup of noodles?
Right. Why couldn't the cup of noodles have transformed into a little mini Gundam and we could have had that on there
I
too?
know, I
We got one
know.
of those nowadays, okay?
Yeah, I know. I know. But so they're looking for like I guess more bounties, I guess you could say. Right? They're looking for more bounties, right?
At this point, I thought they were taking a vacation.
Okay.
They were taking a vacation, and they were gonna go like experience like Halloween on Earth.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, because it was coming up. Halloween was coming up. So if anybody tells you, Die Hard is a Christmas movie, and Cowboy Bebop is actually a Halloween movie.
But Faye is on the hunt for this guy who like he's like a hacker, like credit card fraud guy, and she ends up tracking down this truck that he used to rent with a credit card, I believe. And it's not him, it's somebody else. The guy gets out of the car, blows up the tanker truck, and a bunch of people get sick and basically die, is like how we kind of start this whole investigation of what the Bebop crew is going to get themselves into, is biological warfare, basically.
This is true. This is true. I also like this part too, right before we get into that, where we have the guy where he's laying there, and he gives us that whole little thing where he's talking about like the world,
Oh yeah.
talking about like almost like how it's a marble or something, and like that plays out through the whole fucking movie.
Oh yeah, that's very much in the whole movie.
And we're just like, It's
Like,
a very astute observation of
what
you.
are in these little marbles that we're seeing, you know? And we get this the like she comes back to the Bebop, which is a ship.
So let me ask you this. Did at any point, like when part of this stuff happened, did you really think that the marbles were like that whole thing first off?
No, I thought they were just marbles.
See, I thought that too. I thought it was either like his calling card, like the Laughing Man would like hang people up a certain way or
Yeah,
like something like that.
when I first watched this, I thought it was marbles.
He was losing his marbles.
Losing his marbles. Because he was playing
Yeah.
like Chinese checkers with them, I
Right?
think, at
Yeah.
one
Yeah.
point. Yeah. So like Faye gets back, they try to figure out exactly what's going on. Like they see the news flash that like thousands of upon thousands of people are dead. You know, it's sick from this like that's like a virus or biological something or whether I can remember what it was.
Yeah.
It's like a like goes after I think like your lymph nodes or something, if I remember correctly. It's oh they're nanotechnology.
Yeah.
That's what it was. It was nanotechnology. That's what it
Yeah,
was.
it made you go crazy or something.
Yeah, and like
And then
the
right before that, you'd see the butterflies.
Yeah, see the butterflies.
Yeah, that whole part of this movie makes me think of the look at the flowers part in The Walking Dead.
Oh, look at the
Just look at the
flowers. Look at the
butterflies.
flowers.
Boo!
Oh yeah. But Jet and Ed get left alone, and Spike goes off on his own, and Faye goes off on her own to find the one guy, I believe. The guy, like the hacker guy she's looking for.
Yeah, hacker, yeah.
And we see Spike, and Spike, I
Which,
think.
if you guys don't understand fully who we're talking about yet, it's the English African American guy. Well, I guess he'd be British American.
British American?
He'd be African British.
African? As the African British?
Is
Which
that what
one?
it would be?
I think.
This is weird. I don't know. I don't know. I don't
Have to
know how to
say,
explain this.
we could kind of just jump ahead, but like every time he shows up, And because he's into like, he's like a gamer and he wants to be a terrorist, you know?
Right. See, and I love the gaming aspect of his character. One thing that I hate, though, is that he's got this, like, it sounds like a fake-ass British accent the whole time. It's like, when he does the scene where it looks like he's about to draw a gun, and he, like, throws his jacket back, and he's got these two little, like, computer things that look like, kind of like handmade, like, keyboards almost on the sides, and he's sitting there, he starts clicking on them and everything to try and like,
typing furiously, over the stuff. And whenever he does it, I'm like, yeah! Wait, let me hack before you shoot me.
Yeah, I mean, it looked like, and it was cool. I mean, it was a cool scene. But then, like, however he says his words that come out of his mouth at that point, it's like, oh, I'll show you something. And I don't feel like it matches up with his mouth.
I'm kind of bummed that we never got to see who Sporky Donkey was.
Oh, God, yes.
I wanted to know who Sporky Donkey was, which is like a video game character in this world. And I love that, like, Faye, like, shoots the machine and he gets all mad, like you said, and hacks everything around her. And she, like, doesn't understand him because she's like, come on, like, you know, I'm going to take you in and get the bounty and stuff.
Wait, didn't we see Sporky Donkey, but it was on, like, the side of the machine or on the top of the machine?
Maybe, I'm not for sure.
Because I think that was the mascot of the game he was playing.
Was it?
I think so, because I'm pretty sure it's like a weird, like, cartoon humanoid, like, donkey or something. Or a pig. Why am I thinking it's a pig?
I don't know. But Faye ends up losing this guy. And before that, was it before that when Spike goes to, like, in Indian Town? I want to say it's called
India
Town. I don't know what you'd call it.
I would probably call it like Little India,
which is seeing Spike go through trying to find something about like this nanotechnology and stuff is really funny.
And he's trying to find a rug seller.
Yeah. I believe it is. And he finds one. He eventually does. Which they give him a vase. And the vase has one of the little marbles in it. He finds out later. They find out later kind of what it is. But it's like a marble, I think, at that point. But I love the part where they all get back to the Bebop. And I think it's called like Big Shots, right? The little TV show that they have that comes on all the time.
The bounty board show?
Yeah, the bounty board show.
Yeah, Big Shots.
I think it's called Big Shots, where they're like, yeah, we got our biggest bounty. And it's like the two recurring characters we always see in the show. But we get like a deeper insight to like how they actually film the show. And it's so cheesy and fun, and I love it. How they just have like these like horses around their waists. And they're just standing there bouncing up and down, you know, acting like they're actually on horses, which I thought was hysterical when I first saw this.
Yes.
And they're like, oh, we don't have any more information, so we don't know what to do and how to fill up our airtime. But if you you call in with a tip, you could win one of these lovely prizes.
Right. I love this part, though, too, because then you have the girl where she's like so ditzy. She's like, tell me how!
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, like, her outfit is already, like, it's so gung-ho, okay? We'll say that.
I gotta ask you.
Yeah.
How are those titties staying in that jacket? Because she has nothing under that jacket. Do you think she's using a lot of double-sided tape?
I mean, she's probably just not as big as we think she is.
Maybe.
They're not falling out, you know?
Yeah, like, I know. They're just standing there while she's bouncing a lot, you know?
This is true.
Yeah.
Maybe the denim's weighted.
Maybe it's weighted.
You ever had, like, your mom, like, starch your jeans at all where they stood up on their own? Maybe that's what's happening.
Maybe. But they go off and they kind of find out, like, where this stuff is being made. And Spike ends up going to like a pharmaceutical company where he runs into probably one of the coolest characters in anime. Elektra is her name.
Right.
And we get like a very awesome fight scene. Like this fight scene was like probably one of my favorite fight scenes ever, I would say.
Right. I would say this is probably a toss up in this movie between that fight scene and him and Victor's fight scene.
You think so?
Yeah, I think both of those are probably my two favorite things, and they're natural. They're natural, you know, like how they happen.
Yeah.
That's true. I mean, you know, we could take like the close other cowboy one to this. For me, it would be like Trigun, but can tell like it doesn't seem as real as fights in Cowboy Bebop.
Well, like for Bebop, for it being like a sci-fi show, like a, you know, sci-fi western, as they say, you know, Bebop is very much like very grounded in like real world, like the reality aspect of it.
Right.
Like they don't really have anybody with like superpowers, really. It's all very much explained for the most part, you know. They don't really have any like real like fanciful stuff.
We don't get anything like super weird. Probably the weirdest thing is the little slime in the freezer on one of the episodes.
Oh, the mutated lobster.
Yeah.
The leftovers. And I would say maybe like the top hat guy. Kind of. A little bit.
I think he's more just regular sci-fi because his suit supposedly has like a reflective property or something like that, or something his body.
Like yeah.
But other than that, like nobody really has superpowers and everybody's pretty much on equal terms and they all do kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
You know,
I love this. Like it's very much like a flirtatious vibe that Spike gives off, you know? I always kind of wondered if like, did she remember him in the marketplace or did like she just knew he was like kind of acting weird by like sweeping the ceiling or whatever, sweeping the wall it was, you know?
No, I think she remembers him from the place.
Yeah.
And what made her attack him in the first place is because she thought it was really weird that he was in that place and in this place. Mm-hmm. And kind of like, well, if somebody's in the same place, then obviously they have to be one of these like problem children that we have that we're trying to find and take out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So it'd be like you go into Walmart and then go into like eat at a diner and stuff, and the same person is always there. Like, you got two options. Like, are you tracking this person or are they telling you, you know?
But I very much like the Elektra character, and I think she very much like doesn't fall into the trap of like, you know, normal like shonen-esque character that you would find in like the movies that they put into them.
I agree. I think she shows a good pivotal point of a female character that is in a line of work the same as like Faye is,
mm-hmm.
but doesn't use her like feminine wiles and other things to that advantage.
Yeah.
She's kind of more of the I'll use my might to do it kind of thing.
Oh yeah. And like, you know, she's like very much like all hands on type of thing. And Faye's like, oh, you know, hey, how's it going? You know, look at my tits kind of thing, you know?
Right, right.
For like 50% of the show, kind of. Faye knows what she's got, you know.
But this is true. I mean, look at her outfit.
Spike ends up escaping. He ends up putting a tracer on Elektra, and they end up finding Vincent on like a monorail train type of thing. If I remember correctly what it was. And this scene paired with the last fight scene, like, go together like peanut butter and jelly. Like, I love when Vincent and Spike meet for the first time. Like, it's crazy. Like, to see, like you said, like the parallels kind of them both, yeah. You know, because they're both kind of like fucked up people in their own ways, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
You got somebody who's kind of like seen the world in a fucked up way through the syndicate in Spike. And then on the opposite side, you've seen people in a fucked up way with Vincent from like the mental ward. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we're getting two really fucked up things and how they always happen, and seeing how almost both of these characters through the same situation have kind of grown into being really alike, mm-hmm. but not having more things out of all that. So.
Yeah. Yeah. No, totally. I do agree on that aspect. But I was shocked the first time I ever watched this, and like I thought, like, are they going to kill Spike off? Like, I know they were kind of like there's still debate on whether or not Spike dies or not at the end of the Bebop show. But I was like, are they going to really kill Spike off? But no, Spike doesn't die. Spike gets saved by a Native American, and somehow Jet finds him. I wasn't really clear on how Jet found him. Exactly.
If I'm right, they sent up like a smoke signal or something, and I think Spike, or not Spike, Jet somehow like knew what it meant.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of how all that crap happened, because mm-hmm. it was like, oh, well, you can do this, and somehow he'll know because of how like awesome of a character Jet is. But I mean, it's still weird, you know?
Yeah, because he just shows up out of nowhere.
Hey, Spike, what happened? You know,
I got beat up on a train. You know how it is.
This Native American guy here saved me.
With his wolf.
Everything will be okay.
Yeah, everything will be okay, you know. But after this, Elektra goes back to the pharmaceutical company. She gives them her blood, and it turns to come to find out that she is actually immune to the nano machine thing. Because of her relationship with Vincent, we find out that this that Vincent was the only one that they gave the antibodies to or whatever. Because did they like experiment on other people? Correct.
Yeah, and I think he was the only one that survived.
Yeah. So he basically
because here's another comparison out of this part that I really feel like.
Mm-hmm.
It really feels like V for Vendetta.
Ah,
well, you know, they go to the ward or whatever to find out that there's a person that somehow has survived like this complete like inferno, and oh, who's this going to be? You know, and we come to find out it's the person we've been talking about this whole time, which is V, and you don't exactly know too awful much more than what you need to just enjoy the story, you know?
Yeah. No, I get you. Yeah. You could say V is basically Vincent.
Yes.
In this, and he wants to take vengeance on the world for what happened to him.
I mean, just think about it. They both have V's in the name, obviously.
That's true. Yeah.
Obviously true. They got to be the same fucking character.
Yeah. But we find out what Vincent's plan is, and he's going to basically blow up these big jack-o'-lanterns for like this Halloween parade. And I love to say, I love this scene where Edward goes out to do some investigation to find Vincent. Where he puts on his costume and stuff, but I do feel like one joke did not age very well. I don't know if you know which one I'm talking about.
I don't think so, because right now I'm thinking, oh, okay, Vincent's costume, he's a witch.
Yeah.
But Edward's what else are we talking about?
Edward's like he goes like door to door to try to find like in this neighborhood to find where Vincent is. And she goes out with Ayn, and this one door opens, like first door opens, and like he's like, I don't want no trick or treaters. Like, and this guy starts like shooting in the air with a shotgun. And he goes to the next one, and it's a big muscular guy dressed in like lingerie drag. And he's like, oh, hey, how's it going, you cute little boy? And then you see Edward's like, Edward's not a boy. Edward's a girl. And then the guy's like, are you trying to, like, ruin my reputation here? And I was like, huh. I don't know how I should feel about this. I don't know if you caught that.
And I think I remember it, but I don't.
Yeah, because
I've ever caught that.
Big muscular guy is wearing like a blonde wig. He has like a 5 o'clock shadow. And he has wearing like pink, like negligee type of thing.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's crazy. Go back and watch it.
I think at the same time, Ed went trick or treating.
Yeah, I think so too. Because Ed calls Faye and tells Faye, hey, I found him. And she's like, okay, stay there and I'll get him, you know? And Edward just runs off and just, I think Edward is gone for like a good chunk of the rest of this movie. Just gone. Like just gone.
What is Ed doing? Trick or treating.
Trick or treating. And Faye gets caught up in this, in Vincent's like hideout. And she gets bound and eventually she gets her top cut off for our fan service scene. Which I was always like, where are we going with this?
I have to say, this is probably one of my favorite scenes in this movie as well.
Why?
Because we get this like craziness of like Victor that you're like,
you mean Vincent?
What's going to happen? Vincent, yeah. I mean, because we're like, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
And of course, like, you've been watching this stuff all this time where we have had almost like Faye almost be like Fujiko, you know, like,
yeah.
Oh, I'm going around, you know, showing people my stuff and doing all this.
She's very vulnerable in this scenario.
She gets caught and she completely loses like all of her power.
Yeah.
I mean, like, and usually she's that character that, you know, you always see her control the power in the room
for most of the time. Like, most
Spike
of the time,
unless Spike or Jet are there.
Yeah.
I mean, even if something happens, like, you still feel like she has the power. Like, you know, she might get upset about it, but, you know, that's how her character is just built, you know? And, and then we move on from there, and she, in this scene, is just, like, completely, like, you're like, oh my God, like, is this going to go farther? Like, is something going to happen to Faye? Yeah. Are we past, like, the normal stuff of where she's always able to, like, slip away from people in the last second? Like, what exactly is going on?
It's true. And I thought bad things were going to happen to Faye.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the first time I watched this, I totally thought, like,
he's going to rape her. He's going to rape her, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, what's happening?
Yeah.
You know, and of course, like, then he just throws the knife down and is like, oh, well, you know, I got to do this, and grabs his witch hat and walks off.
Yeah. He also gives her a kiss with his blood, and which gives her the antibodies in for the stuff. And they find out that, oh, like, they get all the antibodies from the pharmaceutical company because Spike and Elektra get captured at one point. Yeah. And they get out and they get the antibodies and stuff. And they use, like, the weather thing to, like, and, like, crop dusting plants to, like, spread the antidote around, which is cool. It's a very cool scene. And I love the scene where Jet is at the airfields trying to get airplanes.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh yeah, just give me whatever you got, you know? He's like, okay, I'll get you whatever we got. And like, he gets these planes that have been like, not airworthy for like 100 years, I think it was. And I love the old men who always come back in the show. The old bar guys.
Yeah,
old bar guys. They always show up because they showed up at the beginning of this, which is funny. But they start talking, and one of them's like, "Oh, you know, well, we're gonna. What do you want us to do? Blah blah blah." And they play dumb. Like, they're not senile old men. They know what they're talking about, kind of stuff. You know, they just play dumb for the fun of it, you know, which is funny to think about, seeing all their interactions they've had with like Spike, Faye, and Jet and whatnot, you know.
Right.
I feel like, you know.
Oh no, I agree with you.
Yeah, and I love seeing like Jet's reaction of like all the planes taking off, and like a couple of them don't make it. A couple of them just blow up, and we see like the parachute come out, and like, oh good, that those old guys aren't dead yet.
Yeah.
You know. But we get the climactic events happens after this, where Spike goes to where was it like was like life meets heaven or something like that, like, or heaven meets earth or something. I believe it's called.
Yeah, which is some kind of like it's like Paris it Tower.
Like, it looks like the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah,
and we get this climactic very well done fight between, I almost said Vicious, Vincent and Spike.
It's catching.
It's catching. Which ultimately ends up with Elektra killing Vincent. And we get to see all these butterflies and stuff like flying around, which I kind of wonder, like, did like that stuff affect Spike at all? Because Spike starts to see it.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I think it started happening and it affected him. And then what ended up happening was the cure finally got administered,
which,
and so he stopped seeing him.
Which, seeing like the butterflies is really cool. Like seeing all like, the butterfly effect, it's done really well.
It's a really cool effect.
Yeah, and I love like, you know, it the movie just ends with like you see like a aftermath and like a montage of everybody. Basically in the who got affected and whatnot, and like you get this really nice music that plays over it, and like that's kind of how the show ends. Like there's not like a lot of like big fanfare. The one that
starts out, happiness is just amused to me.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't give a damn or something if whatever.
Yeah.
Completely different feel than the ending of the TV show.
Oh, real folk blues?
Yeah, real folk blues is totally different than Knocking on Heaven's Door, which is what the song at the end of this movie is called.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool. That's cool. But yeah, like, going back and...
And like you said, I really like this part in this thing... Like, just picking out, like, key phrases in it.
Yeah.
Because you have where the lady singing about it, and, you know, we have the, like, montage of where Spike's now covering what Vincent kind of said before as the cleanup of him being in the room or whatever.
Yeah.
And we have that part. And then we have this music in the background. And the part that I love the most is we do get... where they're talking about knocking on heaven's door. And if you listen to the chorus or the choir in the background, they keep saying this part about, well, you need to knock a little harder.
Yeah, it's true.
Over and over again. And like, so it starts getting really set in with the movie. And I mean, it just, it's very characteristic of the movie to just enjoy this entire song.
Some people say this movie has pacing issues. That's a little too long, some people say. But I feel like... It's good. It's a good pace. It's a good solid pace.
They ever seen a Cowboy Bebop show?
I don't know.
The pacing's all the same. Okay.
You know, and like it very much hits like all those notes of like, you know, them trying to figure out what they got to do, you know, how to accomplish this task for their bounty and stuff like that. You know, it's very like paint by numbers for Cowboy Bebop in a sense.
It is. Yes.
But man, I think this is like the pinnacle of like animation, in my opinion, of like doing like really good like hand-to-hand combat.
Yes.
And like gunplay. Gunplay I felt was really good too.
Yes.
And
I agree.
I don't know. I love this movie. For me, it's a 5 out of 5. I probably, what?
For me, I think it's a 6 out of 5.
Okay. Okay.
You're like, okay, we didn't even talk about if we could go that high.
You know, but like, I also have nostalgia goggles on, but this is definitely a movie that I do go back to occasionally, and I love it. I think it's good, and I think people should check it out. If you have not checked it out, it's on, you know, you can find it. It's not hard to find. It's streaming places, you know, and definitely give it a check it out, you know.
Yes.
You have give anything to out. Say?
Yes. I have tons of stuff to say.
Okay.
Go check out this movie. It's super good. You need to check it out because this is something that you didn't know that you needed in your life. I don't care what somebody says about the pacing. The pacing is perfect. Those people can go to hell. It is one that you sit down and you just kind of like zone out and enjoy.
Oh, the soundtrack. I mean, the soundtrack is like chef's kiss.
Yes. It is very, very like, I will say that. If you wanted to know if an anime could be religious at all, almost all of the entire songs in this, jazzy, whatever, this last one reaches the heavens. So that's why we're knocking on heaven's door, you know.
It's a religious experience, you could say.
It is. It is. It's like Burning Man.
I saw Jesus, and his name is Spike Spiegel.
Oh my god. You mean his name was not Vicious. His name was Vincent.
I saw the devil. His name was Vincent.
You're dead to me. I saw, I guess, everything, and its name was Butterfly. Okay.
Okay, okay. But yeah, this is a fun anime. Definitely check it out. We'll catch you guys on the next episode. Give us feedback. Let us know what you think. Make sure to rate and review the podcast.
Let us know if you're a diehard fan too.
Yeah.
Don't send your complaints of anything about this to Otaku Mike, because if you come at Jen Graves, Jen Graves will hunt you down, and we'll leave it at that. Anyway, to end this on a somewhat good note, we'll see you next Tuesday, you cunts.
Ooh.